Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. I'm glad that the Lord allowed us to be able to meet again on another Sabbath day. It's this Sunday that we have elected, have chosen, have agreed to worship and praise the Lord on this day, as part of the church. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of lesson about Sabbath day and how are we supposed to acknowledge it. The fact is we are to acknowledge the Sabbath day, and this be the day that you have made your custom in worshiping and going to the house of the Lord to worship with fellow saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even for those who have not, and you have tuned in to St. James Missionary Baptist Church's Sunday message, we thank you for doing so and praise the Lord for you, and hope and pray that you are praying for us as we continue even in this ministry. Having said that, let us pause here for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Lord, for being so good and for being so good to us. We're praying, Lord, that you would bless this message, Father, the words, even that you would have to come forth from my lips. I pray, Lord, that you would direct them. We always acknowledge the fact, not giving him any honor, any praise, but recognizing that Satan is indeed the prince of the power of the air, Lord, and we have experienced so many times when folks have heard something come through the airwaves that was not said on the other end. So we're praying, Lord, that you would direct these words, have them be received in the way you had them to go forth, in that same spirit, that they will receive the message that you would have to come forth from your word. I pray, Lord, that you would touch me, even anoint me afresh, if that be what's needed, Heavenly Father, that I might give forth that which you would have to be given, even the way you would have it to be, Father, without my pride or vanity or ego getting in the way. I just pray, Father, that I can just be the vessel that you would use this day, Father, to give forth your word. And praying, Lord, as always, that some soul be edified, sanctified, and that you be glorified. This I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen, beloved. We're going to go right into our message. And today we will be coming from the Gospel of Matthew, the 20th chapter. And we're going to begin reading at the first verse. Always keeping in mind that there are some who may even be on the highways or just in a position that they cannot get to their Bibles and read. So for the benefit of all those who are watching and listening, that you would hear what thus saith the word from the Lord. Matthew the 20th chapter, beginning at the first verse. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you what is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. Excuse me. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. We read from Matthew, the 20th chapter, the 1st through the 16th verses from the New International Version. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of His Word and even sanctify His truth deep down in our hearts. Going as we do in right into our message, we understand that many believers don't have a problem doing the work that the Lord has assigned them to do. We each of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have a task, have an assignment. And as we have stated many times in the past, for those who don't know, those who want to use the words, or I'd say for many, the excuse, Lord, I don't know what it is you would have me to do. I'm waiting to hear from you. If you don't know anything else, you know that you should be taking part in helping to fulfill the Great Commission that what every believer is obligated to do. Now you're saying, well, to do that, I'm not sure how to do it. The Lord has given us instructions, everything from studying to hiding the word in our hearts so that the Lord will be able to bring it out. So as we go about doing that, which the Lord has assigned us to do, I don't know how He's going to have you do and perform your duty in teaching and witnessing and being the ambassadors of the word and proclaiming the good news. I don't know how He's going to have you do that. Some people do it with tracts, some do it with Bible verses, and some do it through their prayers, through their testimony, through their actual works. I don't know how the Lord is directing you. That is something that you should be seeking as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking the Lord about, talking to Him, communicating with Him, fellowshipping with Him, communing with Him, simply praying to the Lord, Lord, what is it you would have me to do? How would you have me to do it? And don't just make your request and all known to Him and go on about your business. I'm learning more and more that we need to take time to, once we have communicated what we want to say to the Lord, we need to give Him time so that we can hear what He's saying back to us. A lot of times we make our prayers, we say what we want to do, Lord, what we want to do, or what we request from Him, get up and we go on about our business. Sometimes it's good to just stay there and hear what the Lord has to say to you. Some people say, yeah, if I stayed out of there, I'm going to go to sleep. Go on to sleep. You're home. Go to sleep if you want to. Who says that you cannot fall asleep on your knees? Or whatever position you might be in, literally when you're praying. You don't know. You don't know if the Lord even wants to speak to you in a dream. He does that, you know. So no, there's no harm in that. I'm learning more and more after all, even after all these years, to learn how to give the Lord time so that I can hear what it is He's saying. Sometimes He responds instantly. Sometimes He doesn't. That's his business. That doesn't mean I can't give him time. And like I said, if it's time to fall asleep, you're doing this at that time. Or it may even be somebody that comes and rings your phone or knocks on your door. He said, "Okay, Lord is telling me to answer that," and you go on. But you give a little time so that you can hear his response to you. You'd be surprised at what happens when you do that. So, in any case, okay, a lot of us have no problem doing the work the Lord has assigned us to do. The Lord has given you a task, given you a talent, and the ability to perform this assignment. You're doing that, and you're praising God for it. We also understand that for some people, these tasks and these assignments, can be very difficult. And many times even thankless. To the point that we have so many of our fellow believers that are out here and they have, yes, I'm afraid to say it, they have actually grown weary in their well doing. Preaching week after week, teaching day after day, witnessing day after day, being ambassadors for the Lord day after day, and it seems like no one is hearing. Ministering day after day, and it seems like people, so many, are not even saying thank you. Maybe you're giving up your own substance, of course, giving up your time and your abilities. And many times, folks don't even say thank you. And you feel like throwing your hands up and giving up. Lord, what's the use? What's the point? But continue. Remember the Lord himself, like he prayed for Peter, that your faith don't fail you. We may never see the fruit of our labor. How many of you realize that? You're teaching, you're preaching. You might even, how would you like to even be like, the prophet out there praying, preaching, prophesying to dry bones. Sometimes many of us feel that that's what we're doing. But you do that. And you know that's what the Lord assigns you to do. You do that as you are doing your work, waiting for your payday. Payday will be coming. That we are assured of, we've been promised. But that's part of another message. Well, a little bit of this one as well. But let's go on and move on a little bit further. Okay. When payday does arrive, no one is complaining about who gets in line to receive their pay because they all know that everyone's going to get paid. We as believers, those that in the text, you don't hear anybody grumbling, okay, all right, let's get in line for pay. Some of us do remember when that's the way things were kind of done. You got in line, they called your name, and they gave you an envelope. Some of us even remember getting paid in cash. But a lot of us remember just getting your check. They were handing you your check. Okay. But no matter what, nobody grumbled. He's in ahead of me. That was ahead of me. Because you're going to get paid. You didn't worry about it. However, though, now, which in the case with this, with our text today, when those who have been working longer than some of the others saw that they got paid the same amount, they felt some kind of way. They felt that they deserved more pay, or that those who came later deserve less pay. It didn't, but in any case, they felt some kind of way because, hey, you're paying them the same amount you paid us. We've been working so much longer. So they felt it wasn't right. Now, they didn't express the fact, okay, yes, you got paid as much as we do. You got blessed. They didn't look at it that way. They, yes, Yes, you were blessed to get paid the same amount we did at eight. You know? I am mad at you. But they had some problem with the owner. Even though they agreed to what he was willing to pay for his wages. Let me share something with you. Okay, I've said this in the past to others. I remember when I first started teaching. My salary was $12,500 a year. I believe that's what it was, either 12,500 or 12,900. I don't quite remember, something like that. It wasn't 13, I know it was 12 something. That's what was my salary for the year. And I remember telling that to one of my co-workers. And he told me when he started teaching, his salary was $5,000 a year. Wow, I said, wow, I'm starting off with twice as much as he did. But he started teaching many years prior than I did. And I remember him saying to me, hey, listen, yeah, I was only getting that much a year, but at that same thing, $5,000 a year could get you a brand new Cadillac, which was the car, luxury car to have in that day. So things were relative. You know, that's what he was, we found out. And also, he wasn't the least bit upset about how much I was getting paid at the time. And I'm sure that at this time he had been teaching so long, his pay, was commensurate upon the years that he had been teaching. So, that was all right. And I've heard a number, listen, going back to the text, I've heard a number of explanations, reasons, sermons, teachings on why the owner had his foreman pay the last hired people first and the first people that were hired last. I've heard many, many teachings on this. And this brings us to the subject of our lesson for today, which is very simple. Thanks for the lesson, Lord. I get it. That's our subject for today. Thanks for the lesson, Lord. I get it. Now, I'm not going to be long before you. So hear what I'm saying. We are living in a time when we see sports figures in particular. I'm singling out the sports figures. Okay, and because they're making millions of dollars. All right, they're making millions of dollars. And but what gets me is when they sign a contract to be paid a certain amount, and I'm just using this for an example. If you're a running back in football, you're paid, excuse me, to run the ball. Nobody, unless they have it in their contract for bonuses or something, you're not paid to necessarily make touchdowns because every time you run, you may not make a touchdown. You're not paid that you must gain a certain amount of yards for that season because that may not happen. But you are paid to run the ball. When it's called upon you to run a particular play, yes, you're supposed to do that. And you're expected to do it to the best of your ability. Just as sure as everybody else who's participating in that particular play is expected to do their job. And they're being compensated to do their job. But what gets me is even though you're paid to do that, and you may have a good year doing so, all of a sudden, you want to renegotiate your contract. You feel as though, hey, I've had a good year. I think I should be getting paid more money. Or some even say, listen, you're paying me such amount of dollars, but wait a minute. So and so on another team who did not have as many yards running as I did the previous season. Or maybe they're a rookie. They haven't been tried yet, but you're paying them so much more money than me. I think I should be getting paid more money. I'm a proven commodity. And this happens more than a lot of people realize. But what about the fact that when you signed your contract, you agreed to run for a certain amount of money? Is that not what you agreed to do? If you had a good year running, is that not what you're supposed to do? One thing I have not read, and I'm going to get off of this example, I have not read when I'm using running backs now. When a running back said, "Listen, I didn't have a great year. Let me get some of my money back." I haven't read of that being done yet. Maybe it has been. I just said I haven't read it. I mean, I didn't have a good year. I think I owe you some money back. But yet, because I've had a good year, I feel as though I should get more money in spite of the fact that I agreed to do this job for a certain amount. Listen, this is relevant to what we see happening with this owner who went out and hired these people to come and work for him. He agreed from the gate how much he stated rather how much he was going to pay. They took on the job agreeing to what he was willing to pay them. Now, the fact that he paid those who came later in the day, even as late as an hour before the day was over, and he agreed to pay them and did pay them the same amount of money he paid for those who had been there all day, they may grumble, but hey, they agreed to pay to work for that amount of money. What are they upset about? That he chose to pay the people who worked for a fraction of the amount of time that they did the same amount of money. Some will say, I understand why they will be upset. I mean, I do, I'm not stupid. But you have to get over that. Hey, I said I'll go pay. I was willing to pay and work rather for a certain amount of pay. He paid me that. All right. Those of you who got paid the same amount of money, bless your heart. Okay. I was satisfied to work for my pay. And I'm sure you're satisfied for the same amount of pay. Because let me explain something to you. It's just like time. I don't care whether you're rich, poor, or anywhere in between. You cannot, there's 24 hours in a day. Something like, I believe, something like 144,000 minutes a day. And no matter how many millions or billions you may have, you cannot add a single second to that day. Now, I don't know how much time the Lord has given these bodies for each one of us to last, but I know that I cannot add a single second to the time He has appointed for me to stay here. Some say you could do some things to shorten your time, and that may well be true. But I can't add any more seconds to a day. I can't make this a 25-hour day. I can't. And no one with the billions or even trillions of dollars they may have can make this longer than a 24-hour day. They cannot make it longer than a 365-day year. Can't. So you cannot give yourself more time. You can't. And I'm so glad that the Lord in His infinite wisdom did not allow us to know and does not allow us to know exactly how much time we have to be here. I'm glad. Can you imagine what people will do We see it today, what they're trying to do to add years to their life. There you see advertisement for products that will add years to your life, as if you already know how many years you have appointed to your life to begin with. The lesson, y'all, and I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get through this. Okay. Yes, we're living in that time when we see so many people making all these dollars, and they want to so many contracts. Don't even have to be on the level of sports figures. We even in our daily lives. I want us to keep in mind these two things. These are the two verses I want us to focus on in our text today, coming from Matthew, the 20th chapter. I want us to focus on the 8th verse and the 16th verse, because that's where you'll find these words written in the 8th verse. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first one." And then we see in the 16th verse, one of the most commonly known, widely known verses in the Bible. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Passages of scripture, probably a lot of time is taken out of context, but let's see what we get from this in our text for today. We want to point out some things that takes place in this text. This what's going on here. One, they agreed to work for what the owner agreed to pay them. Let's understand that. When the owner went out and said, "Listen, this is what I'm willing to pay for you to work for me today." And they agreed to do that. He didn't twist their arm, didn't strong arm them, didn't have his goons with him and force them to work. That's what they agreed to work for. Okay. He agreed to pay them a denarius, and they agreed to accept that for the work that they were getting ready to do. Let's understand that. Okay. It states here that when they got paid, we didn't hear any grumbling. We didn't hear anybody arguing about their pay. Not when they got their initial pay, they didn't. Okay, we don't see that problem. So they were satisfied with their pay until they looked at what someone else got paid. Now, I want you to think about this. When you get hired for the job that you are applying for, you got, especially if you're new this year, might even be one of your first or your very first job, and you got your resume, you did whatever you had to do, you went through the interview process and all of that, and here you are, hired. They told you what the job pays. They told you what your responsibilities would be. You agreed to do that, and you went on. You accepted the terms of your employment. Just like these men. He said to them, "Hey, I want you to come work in the vineyard." Whatever their job was to do in the vineyard. But here, and this is what I'm paying for that job. And they got paid daily. Isn't that nice? But this is what I'm getting paid. This is what you're getting paid to do this job. Hey, you agreed to it. He hired you. Everything was okay. But when you look past your pay, past what you agreed to be paid, past what you agreed to work for, and started looking at someone else's pay. This is when the problem arose. Now you got envious. You're jealous because that person, not that they got paid, they didn't get paid more than you. That's one thing. They didn't get paid any more than you did. No. They got paid the very same amount that you did. But you got a problem with that. dollars that you felt as though because you worked longer than they did, you should have got paid more. Or as we stated earlier, they should have got paid less, but they should not have gotten pay that was equal to your pay because they have not done the job as long as you have. That's what you felt. The owner said to them who were grumbling about this, "Hey, don't I have a right to pay a person what I want to pay them? It's my money. If I chose not to give them half a denarius or a third of a denarius or a quarter of a denarius, but I chose to give them a whole denarius, isn't that my business? Did I cheat you? Did I not pay you what I say I would pay you? And if you're honest and if they were honest themselves, they have to say, well, yes, you did. Then what is your problem? Your problem is not with your pay. Your problem is with somebody else's pay. Why are you concerned with their pay when you have been paid that which you agreed to work for? Now that's a lesson right there that could be learned from this example. A couple of lessons. One, you shouldn't worry about what somebody else is getting paid. You should be concerned about your own. But that's a lesson there that could be learned. Listen, I want you to know something else. Now watch this. Their pay had nothing to do with their performance. Somebody is saying, wait a minute, how can I make that statement? Nothing is stated over what they had to do. They were working in the vineyard. We can assume certain things. But this owner agreed to pay them and did pay them all. Says nothing about how well they worked. Didn't say how much they accomplished during that day. We know it wasn't about accomplishment because he paid people who worked for different times of the day. And I don't think that person that worked for an hour got as much accomplished as the person who got hired at the beginning of the day, even though they were paid the same amount of money. So it wasn't about, their performance, how much they worked, how much they accomplished, any of that. No, it wasn't about that. And some of you are saying, oh, it wasn't about how much I worked and how long I worked and what I did during that time. It wasn't about that. Now you begin to wonder, well, what was it about? Let's go a little bit more. Like I said, and I'm almost done. Trust me when I tell you. I'm almost done. I have no intention on keeping you all day. Y'all just stay with me. Okay. Now, guess what? Now y'all gonna, this is just gonna, I don't even know if I should say this. Their job had nothing to do with their pay. Let me say that again. I said their job had nothing to do with their pay. You're saying, what? No, it wasn't about the job. It wasn't about the job. And I'm just going to come right out and say it to you. It wasn't about the job. It was about their willingness to do the job. It was about their willingness to work. See, let me explain something to you. I learned this from my father as a youngster, as a kid. I remember going out back then. We went out two jobs. We walked around. Maybe we even went downtown to see who was hiring. You see some even today doing this, but the procedure's a little bit different. You see them with help wanted. We're hiring. But now, not only they're hiring, but you have to go online, you have to do this and wait. No, it wasn't like that years ago. Some of us still remember when you went to a person who was hiring, you went right then and there, and either they were going to hire you or they weren't. Of course, they were going by your first impression. I'm talking about even before you were ready to use resumes and such. There were a lot of local people, a lot of local jobs you could get. And they would hire. Sometimes you get hired right on the spot. You get hired, and they may tell you when to report for work, but you can get hired right then and there. Okay. And I was taught, like I said, years ago, that looking for a job is a job in itself. Sometimes you might be out all day long, you know, went to many different places looking for work. And your first impression, I was taught, is a lasting impression. You don't go looking for work, your hands in your pockets, head down. Yeah, I can do that. No. You were taught, I was taught some things you did when you're looking for a job. How you look the person, your potential employer. You look at him dead in the eye, answering his questions sharply, respectfully. Okay. You're doing and other little things I could go on. This is what you were doing. But this job, I said, had nothing to do with their pay. You're getting, this is what you're going to get paid, period. Are you willing to work for this pay? And those who were willing to work for that pay, they were sent out to work. They were hired to do a job, whatever it entailed. And as we can see, in the passage of scripture, he hired different people doing different parts of the day. Some say it seemed like almost every 3 hours or so he's hiring somebody. But he's hiring people and paying them all the same money. So that's why we make the statement, okay, their job had nothing to do with their pay. Today, people get paid a lot of money for different jobs. Some say, well, you know, he only worked an hour. But if it's a skill that he knew how to do it. It only took him an hour to get paid. With some people, he might get paid several hours or a whole day's work. He got paid for what he knows. Anybody who's hired, even hired a plumber, knows that experience. I said, I've only done this once. I hired a plumber to come in and do something that I knew how to do, but I just didn't feel like doing it. I'll never forget. He wasn't in there a good five hours, giving the benefit of the doubt, say 10 minutes. He was done. And at that time, I got a bill for $100. $100 for less than 10 minutes work. Wasn't what he accomplished in that time. Is what he knew how to do in that amount of time. Sometimes your job is based on what you know, not your physical performance. Sometimes you don't have to do anything except give advice or tell somebody else what to do. And that could be what you're getting paid to do, because you're getting paid for your knowledge. So I'm saying that these people that were hired, their job, whatever it is they were doing, was not the basis for their pay. Had nothing to do with their pay. That's what I'm saying. Now, I want you to hear this. Hear this as it is written in the book of First Thessalonians. Very, 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 again, common passage of scripture. There you find these words. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. Now watch this. Don't miss this. Will come down from heaven with a loud command. with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And watch this now. This is what I want you to get. And the dead in Christ will rise first. They will rise first. The dead in Christ. Listen, let me put it simple. They will get in line first. Oh, y'all see where we're going with this. Okay. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up. Watch this. Together with them. Now I want you to picture this in your mind. Again, years ago, when it's payday, you got in line, everybody one behind the other, and the person, the foreman, maybe will pay you. But here, those who have gone on, those who have been working, those veterans, they will rise first. But watch what it says here. And those of us who are alive will be caught up together with them. Together. Even though they have gone on ahead of us, they have died. But when it comes time to get paid, we will all rise up together, stand before the foreman, stand before Jesus. We'll be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. Some of you are saying, "Oh, I'm seeing what you're saying now." Now you say you call Jesus the foreman. Who's his boss? Some of you said, "Oh, I got it." You don't even have to answer. Aren't we all getting ready to get together? And Jesus is taking us where he promised to his what? Father's house. To his Father's house. The Son. We're going to all get together, meet with the Son in the clouds, in the sky. And he's going to take us all to his Father's house. Oh, he said, "Oh, I'm getting this now. Now I'm getting this." Okay. Because it says we're all going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the 16th through the 18th verses. Some of you saying, "Oh, I got it now. I got it. Nobody's grumbling." I read nowhere where it says we are caught up together to meet God. Somebody's grumbling. "Oh yeah, well, y'all first, y'all ahead of me." No. To meet the Lord in the air, to go. He said, "Well, wait a minute." You said, "But to go to his Father's house." You make it imply that there's a that's our payday, to finally to be in the house of the Lord. That is part of it. The other part is, okay, once we get to heaven, to realize that some of us are going to have some rewards to get. Now, watch this is the difference. See, these workers were had agreed to pay, they had agreed to work for a certain amount of pay, that denarius. But when we get the glory, you get a chance to see our Heavenly Father. Prior to that, we would have received some rewards, crowns, if you will. we would have received it. Now, some of you are saying, well, some of us will have 5 crowns, 4 crowns, 3, 1. There might be some of us without any crowns. I don't know. But what I want you to picture this, though. But for those, whatever amount of crowns you may have, when you get the chance to see our Father in heaven, guess what? You'll look around, reach in your room, and say, I ain't got no money. I got no silver in my pocket. I got no bills in my pocket. But what I have are the crown that you give me, and you'll be more than glad to present them and give them right back to God, which is your greatest thing you can do to pay your homage and to the Lord. That's, he said, I got nothing else to give but this. Here, Father. Oh, I'm so blessed, so glad to be here. I wish I had more. I feel like the little drummer boy. All I got is my ability to play this drum. Oh, you know, let me play this for you, God. All I got is this crown that you bless me with. Lord, let me bless you with it. You're more than worthy. So when it's all said and done, you won't even have those because you just feel as though, Lord, I just want to bless you. I'm glad to be here in your presence. Thank you for this payday. Thank you. Some said that you'll begin to think about all that you've been through and that the Lord has blessed you to finally be here. I don't know that. I doubt that, being that he's going to have wiped away every tear from our eyes. I'm not going to be thinking about what I've gone through. Only thing I'm going to be thinking and praising God for where I am in the presence of my Heavenly Father, with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with the one who allowed me to be joint heirs with him. Lord, thanks for this lesson that you taught me. Here, I get it. I get it. I'm not going to be worried, concerned about what others get. I'm looking forward to my payday. I'm not worried about somebody getting more than I have here. But this is not the payday. This is not. I haven't got to where I'm going to get paid yet. I'm not, this is temporary. I realize that when I get before the Lord, it doesn't matter whether I've been saved for 10 years or 10 decades or 10 minutes. We all gonna get paid the same thing. The Lord, when we stand finally in our Father's house, it would not have mattered how long we've been saved. It would not have mattered how much we think we accomplished while we're saved. It would not have mattered how many souls we even see come to the Lord, because there's going to be so many that we've never even seen. The only thing that's going to matter is that the Lord is going to welcome us in, because we were willing to be on the job. We were willing to be workers approved unto God. We were willing to do that which the Lord has assigned us to do, and we embraced it and did it. We realized it was not about whatever works we accomplished. None of that mattered. Only thing that mattered is our heart condition, our willingness, our desire, our believing, our faith that what we were doing was pleasing to God, that we did not make him ashamed in what we said and what we did. People did not understand. Friends didn't understand. Family didn't understand. Relatives didn't understand. Co-workers didn't understand. But God, you understood. And you were pleased with what we did. That's what matters. The Lord said, I had some of you on the job for 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever amount of years. The Lord said, I had some of you on the job. Some of you I had only had on the job maybe for minutes. I bless you to come into this world. I let those who bore you, the mothers who carried you for 9 months, I allowed them to see you. I allowed them to maybe even to hear your voice, to see your face, but then I brought you right back home. Some said that parent is full of sorrow all their years. No. They were able to look, and I gave them that time of joy that they needed. I gave them something even to hope for, that one day they could see their child again and explain to them, yes, this could happen, but you must be born again. You see, in all of this that I allow you to see, in everything that I allow you to go through, the blessed hope that you have, the blessed assurance that you have, is that one day, I'll get my pay. I'll get my pay. And when I do, it'll be the final pay, the only pay that I'll ever need, that I'll ever get again. Not paid by some lackey, but being paid by my Heavenly Father. Oh, my Lord, I thank you for the lesson that you've given me. I got it. I get it. There are many things that I've drew from this lesson, Lord. That's what some of you are saying right now. Everybody did not draw the same lesson. You drew out of it what you needed to draw. Maybe you need to be taught not to be jealous, not to be envious. Maybe you learn what it means to keep your word when you commit yourself, when you're okay, you know, and giving your promise to do something. I don't know what your lesson was. But we thank you, Lord, for the lesson. We get it. We get it. And we're looking forward, Heavenly Father, as you teach us even, and I'm saying this and I'm going to be done, as we get from Revelation, the fourth chapter, the 10th and 11th verses. The 24 others fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and watch this, what they do, and cast their crowns before the throne. Saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Cast their crowns. Some have crowns. Oh my gosh, we preached this some time ago. They have crowns that they have earned. But it doesn't matter. I don't need to walk around with a crown in glory. My Heavenly Father, he's the King. He's the one worthy to be crowned. Here, Heavenly Father. Here. I'm not even take the crown in his head, Lord. Just take it. Thank you. Not because I don't want it, but Lord, I have nothing else to give you. This is, but I wish I just had more. Oh, let me let this go. Thank you, Lord, for the lesson that you've given today through your word. You've given me even more to aspire to look forward to. The day when I get my final paycheck. Not because I've been fired. But here it is. It's going to take me all eternity to cash. Praise God. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Remember, you too can look forward to this payday if indeed you have been born again. That's the only way. There's no sugarcoating this. There's no shortcut. You must be born again. Otherwise, again, you cannot even enter. You can't see or enter the kingdom of God unless you've been born again, unless you receive the gift of God's only begotten Son. Unless you say, yes, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, but I need to be saved by you. Lord, I need to be born again. I surrender myself to you, Lord. Here I am. I need you. I've been trying so many times to walk the straight and narrow, and I find that I can't do it. I need you, Heavenly Father. I need you. I'm here to tell you, if you would pray that in it, in whatever words you have to use, but mean that from your heart, mean the fact that you need to be born again, that you know that the only way that can happen is through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, for his coming down and dying for me, dying for you. You believe that and accept that and receive Jesus. You too will be born again. And I'll see you when we all get caught up. You'll be in that number. Just to imagine. Doesn't matter that I got caught, that I got saved in 2025. And Moses, Noah, Joshua, so many others. Got saved thousands of years prior. I will be just like them. The last shall be first. The first shall be last. We will all be right there. Doesn't matter. They got saved before I did. We'll all be there. I'll be standing there with grandma, grandpa, auntie, uncle, mom, dad, some of the other loved ones who've gone on ahead. I'll be right there with them. Caught up together. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Thanks for the lesson, Lord. I get it. I get it. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies towards us. We pray, Lord. We pray that some soul has heard your word, Father. Have been edified by your word, and that you have sanctified them, set them apart, saved their soul. Our family have gotten that much larger today because of your word. And we thank you. And we pray, Father, that even as you allow us to continue through this day, that we could do so, living and walking in your spirit, conducting ourselves in such a manner that those who see us, those who are around us, will be able to see you, Lord, through us, through our life lived. This we do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, beloved.